We're back with more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. What are the picture books you remember from your childhood? And what do the pictures in them look like? While some art has to be appreciated as a product of its time, a good picture book can feel completely independent from the era in which it was written. A series of books by author-illustrator Lauren Long is a good example. An old-fashioned tractor named Otis makes his third appearance in Long's latest book, called Otis and the Puppy. The plots, too, are timeless. In this new book, Otis befriends a puppy whose limitless energy leads him to get lost in the woods as darkness falls. And it's up to Otis to overcome his own fear of the dark to go to find his friend. Long, whose other work includes illustrating the best-selling children's book by President Obama, was in the Milwaukee area in March. He stopped by the Lake Effect studio where he told Mitch Tyke what he believes the trick is to crafting a timeless children's story.
Well, for me, Mitch, it is drawing on the books that I loved when I was little, particularly those, what I would consider just timeless classics like Pokey Little Puppy and The Little Engine That Could, The Story of Ferdinand, and certainly Virginia Lee Burton's work, Mike Mulligan's Steam Shovel, right, and The Little House. Those books really, Virginia Lee Burton's body of work really contributed to the look and the feel of Otis, the tractor.
There's definitely a similar aesthetic quality to Otis and any of the machinery in those old books.
Right, absolutely.
Well, and you can't help but notice that Otis is this tractor that would be at home in the 1940s or 50s just as easily as he is today. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I mean, kids who are growing up today would still recognize him as a tractor.
Yeah, and that's a really it's a really fun thing because children are now it's the third book of the Otis series. When I first wrote Otis, I had no idea that I would do more than one Otis book. But he's so much fun to write and he's so much fun to illustrate. And it's really fun to meet children who know this little tractor. They know what he says. They know how he sounds, putt, puff, puttity, chuff. And that's really fun and new for my career.
Well, and I wonder, maybe this is a strange question, but do you think, I mean, aside from just this influence of these timeless books that you remember, is a vintage tractor easier to anthropomorphize than say, a modern John Deere combine?
You know, I think in some way it is. Maybe it's not easier, but it's more fun for me as a picture maker. You know, to your point also, Mitch, children ask me, how old is Otis? And I always say, well, he's a little bit older. He's kind of like the farm animal's older brother. He's their best friend. But I don't like to assign an age for him because he is timeless. You know, he could exist 50 years ago or now.
And there is also something about kids being able to identify with Otis or identify their older brother or their older sister with Otis.
Right. Absolutely.
I'm also curious where reading out loud fits in the process for you. I mean, these are books that some of your readers are probably reading to themselves. But for a lot of your audience, it's probably a parent or another grown-up or a teacher that's reading and reading out loud. Does it for you have to float off the tongue in a certain way for it to work?
Yeah, it really does. And like you say, the thing that's so fun about a picture book is that it can become a performance and it can become a very distinctly personal performance for any given little child, because often these picture books, this is sort of what my life's work now is has become. It's my quest to create an experience for little children, and it's a really warm, fuzzy place in life because it is often performed or read to them by someone that loves them.
I always feel like when I'm reading to my kids, there's a certain suspension of time, that there's nothing else going on. Yeah. This is like one time where they're with you and the thing that's important is the thing that's in front of them.
Exactly. And I cannot look at the jacket of Pokey Little Puppy or Little Engine That Could without thinking of my mother, you know. And we as human beings will learn many, many things. Your children will learn so many things. They'll forget so many things. But they'll no doubt take with them throughout their entire life not only those books they loved when you read to them, but the feeling of human love that you gave them in that time spent.
you talk to elementary schools a lot, or the kids at elementary schools, not, presumably not the buildings, but when you're on these book tours, what do you see as your mission when you walk into a school? Are you hoping to create a room full of artists?
You know, not so much, but it is interesting, Mitch, because I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky, born in Missouri, and this is one thing I do share with the little guys, and that is that when I was their age, I was from a very conventional family. Neither my mom or my father were artists. I never saw them draw a picture. We didn't know any artists. I liked normal things like baseball and playing kickball. But my mother read to me, and they encouraged me to draw, and that was something that I loved to do more than anything over the years. So more than anything, I'm not trying to convert little guys to know, but I hope that some of them are inspired to know that the world is open for them to find their own path and do something that might be a little different.
You think there's a certain demystification that goes into, you show up and people realize that, this is just a grown-up who could be my dad and he could be, the guy I see down the street and this is what he does.
Absolutely. There really is. My name is on the cover of books all across the country, and I started out just like them. In fact, I wasn't particularly a very good reader as a very young child, had some issues there, and I didn't come from some artistic background, and that's what I want the kids to know. In fact, I talk about my own two sons a lot in my presentation, so they do get a sense that this guy is he's kind of like my dad or my uncle or that kind of thing.
At what point in this process, you said you just love to draw. When did it dawn on you that you were actually getting better and getting pretty good?
It was along about the time I was in middle school. In junior high school, actually, 7th, 8th, 9th grade, I didn't take any kind of special art lessons or anything. But in school, the 7th grade art teacher was also the football coach. And I was kind of the opposite of a football player. I was a little tiny, scrawny kid. But in class, Mr. Pennington started using my assignments as examples for the class. And I remember that feeling distinctly today, just the feeling that, wow, Mr. Pennington's talking about me in front of the whole class, and he's showing my drawing. So I took all the art classes my junior high school, high school offered for electives.
Well, and even today, it must be a powerful feeling that it's not just Mr. Pennington. It's parents and kids around the country and the world who are have this thing in front of them in their living room.
Yeah, it is. It's a wonderful feeling at the end of the day. It's not rocket science. It's not curing cancer, but it does give me a good feeling to know that I am contributing to our society on some level.
Well, so then at what point did it go from you like to draw and you're getting good and you're being recognized for being good to I want to do this for kids?
The best way to answer that is in high school I started thinking, this is, okay. I guess maybe around the age of 15 I started realizing I may not ever be the center fielder for the Cincinnati Reds, that kind of life lesson, right? Because I loved baseball. When it started dawning on me, I went to college and majored in five different things too. Didn't know I could be an artist, because dad was in sales and mom was a secretary. In college, by the end of my college years, I decided, okay, you know what? I want to be an illustrator. I had a wonderful art teacher in high school also that shared the work of Vincent van Gogh and Norman Rockwell. And she gave me context for it. So I finally did major in art in college, but I was just going to the University of Kentucky. So I graduated with a bachelor degree, but not necessarily a portfolio that could get me work. So I went to the American Academy of Art in Chicago, and that answered a lot of questions and gave me some honing of basic skills to prepare me to actually get a job in my field.
And is that the point at which you feel like you're actually creating your own style?
That happened actually after the American Academy of Art. There, they allowed me to draw in a very disciplined way. The first part of every day we drew from the model. So that really developed skills a little bit higher than I had in high school and also taught me a discipline about my work. But it wasn't after I got a job as a greeting card artist in Cincinnati. The third largest greeting card company at the time was Gibson Greeting Cards. And this is right around 89. So I worked there for three and a half years. And it was there that at night I was working on my portfolio. And I started really becoming a student of the American regionalist painters and letting that influence seep into my work. And then for about 10 years, I worked as a freelance illustrator for magazines and really gave myself a little bit more of a unique signature look. So if you're a Time Magazine art director, you could call anybody in the world and they would call Lauren Long for a certain kind of picture in Cincinnati, Ohio. And that's what happened, yeah.
Is that the kind of stuff that make – I mean, you don't carry a briefcase. You don't dress up to go to work. What right. makes you excited about getting up in the morning and going to the metaphorical canvas?
Oh, man. It's a challenge. First of all, it's fun. It's a challenge. And then I got into picture books, which is a whole other world. And then I all of a sudden started meeting my audience. And, you know, I would do an illustration for – Time or Sports Illustrated or Reader's Digest, I never met my audience. I never felt like I was the product. I was just sort of, in a sense, decorating the product. The world of children's literature has so many fingers of an audience. It's very wide and diverse. It's teachers, librarians, educators, not only on the elementary level, but the junior high, the high school, and colleges. People are studying children's literature to become teachers. And then there's a whole nation of booksellers, and let alone the consumer. So it really, you know, that driving force and trying to create a picture book that might mean something to a little child that I don't even know, but that might mean something for his life that the little engine that could meant to mine as a mid to late 40s-year-old person. That's kind of my quest, and that's kind of what excites me and gets me up in the morning.
Well, so finally, I can't end this without asking. You illustrated a book that was written by the President of the United States. Mm. A, there must have been a lot of pressure on a project like that. And B, have you gotten feedback from the author?
Let's see. A, there was a lot of pressure and certainly a lot of thrill. But when I got into my studio, I had to remind myself there was a reason they asked me, and the author is not sitting with me in my studio, and now let me do my thing, you know, and you just give it, you swing hard in case you hit it, to use a baseball right. analogy. And that's what I did with President Obama's Of the Icing, and the response from the president was wonderful. I had very little interaction with the president until after the book published, and he did invite my family and I to the White House to thank us, and he was very gracious and very it was a humbling experience for me, certainly, and one that I'll be proud of for the rest of my life.
Well, Lauren Long, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
All right. Mitch, thank you so much for having me.
Lauren Long is the author and illustrator of three books in the Otis series, including the latest, Otis and the Puppy. A Christmas-themed book is due out this fall. He's also written and illustrated numerous other books, including President Obama's children's book, Of the I Sing. He's also co-written and illustrated a series of baseball-themed chapter books for older kids. Lauren Long spoke with Mitch Tyke in an interview that first aired in March. And that is all the time we have today. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you can be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air comes your way next.